What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. So I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. Don't know the who's who's, and I don't know the what's what's.
Listen, I'm sorry, okay? I know. Listen, I know you're mad. I get it.
I mean, I honestly don't care.
No. You are. Ray's so mad that he's not going to do the podcast. Ray said, you know what? Fine. You don't want me? Then I won't do the podcast. Cool. Fine. Whatever. So, I'm sorry, but
you should know now, by Friday, Ray's in a bad mood.
Right. I understand that, but listen. Mark Long, we had him on. He's the original Road Rulers. He's the one that got the Challenge All-Stars back on TV, right? He brought all the old school people back. We had him on a few weeks ago, and I just took over the interview and geeked out the whole time.
Here's the deal. When you tell us these interviews are happening, we prep. We're like, okay, well, let's start thinking of questions to ask him. So me and Ray, we start writing down our questions. All right, I want to ask him about this. I think this would be cool to know. And then when the interview happens, guess what? All that prep we did, gone. We didn't ask one single question.
Right. So I reached out, and I lined him back up.
And I said,
because you guys wanted to ask questions.
And then
I didn't tell you about him coming back on, and I did the interview by myself.
Again. But then at this point, Coach, I'm telling you right now, I don't give a crap. I honestly don't have any questions. I don't really even know the dude. I don't watch Road Rules. Never watched Road Rules. I watched a couple of seasons of Real World back in the day. Don't know who he is. So, Coach, this is your guy. Talk to him all you want.
I know.
I don't care. But however, Ray.
Not happy.
Doesn't think the same way.
Morgan, number two.
What up?
What do you think it was bad of me to bring him back on and then not tell these guys?
Well, first off, do you know who he is?
No.
Okay. Do you watch Road Rules?
No, I mean, I used to watch The Challenge like way back in the day.
And he was
not
on
anymore.
The Challenge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I might recognize him, but as far as his name, no. Okay. Yes, Lunchbox, you totally should have told your other co-host that you were doing an interview for the podcast. You are all on.
I acknowledge your passions, dude, and I don't care. Like, if Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam wanted to come on and you guys don't know anything about him, I wouldn't mind. I'll just do it by myself, and you guys would probably be like, hey, who cares? You know everything about him. We don't. Who cares?
Right, and that's what I felt like. I felt like I am the super fan, and so it means a lot to me. And so I was like, okay, I'll get him back on. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, man, these guys are just going to ask him dumb questions that – no one wants to hear, so I'm just not even going to tell them about the interview. And I didn't think it would be that big a deal. But Ray was so mad. He's like, I'm out. I'm just going to go home. You don't want me on the podcast? Fine. I'll just go home. And so he leaves. And so we're back with Morgan number two for a third day.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I just wanted to hang out with y'all. I didn't know I was getting involved in a little skit scatter. What are they called?
Skitter scatter.
Maybe a tiff, a dust up. I don't know. A skitter scatter.
It was just words coming out of my mouth.
So we're going to play the interview later?
Yeah, we're going to play the interview later.
All right.
Like we're going to add it on the podcast. And I don't know.
I ask now that we have Morgan number two here?
Yeah.
And we ended the last podcast with her sparring. I want to know like what happened Wednesday when you got there and you sparred.
Well, so I didn't spar on Wednesday. I was just practicing boxing on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
I only do sparring a little bit. And right now my trainer is trying to get me to go spar against somebody who's really experienced. And I
kick her ass, Seabass.
And I don't want to do it.
Are
really
you going to come in one day with a black eye?
It's very possible.
Oh.
A broken nose?
It's all very possible, but I do wear headgear. But
it doesn't cover your nose?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, man, if you broke your nose, that would be the end of your boxing.
I mean, you come in with tape over your nose?
No, like, her nose is sideways, dude. It's like, oh, man.
And I have a really good nose.
She starts talking
Botox.
Like me?
I don't want a nose implant.
I am Morgan number two.
Oh, no.
Guys, don't scare me. You don't want to do this.
It's us scare you. You're the one fighting.
I did like her little humble brag there. I have a good nose.
Yeah,
I do. I like my nose. I don't want a new nose.
You have a good nose.
Yeah, it's not a bad nose.
I've never really looked at your nose. I've never checked your nose out.
Have you gotten hit in the nose yet?
Yeah, but the headgear, the way it fits is like up on your cheekbone. So at the very least, it blocks. Like they would have to really get
straight jab.
Yeah, to be able to hit my nose. And I hope that never happens because I should be protecting myself.
Do you know? Yeah, right. Hands up.
Yeah.
Guard up.
Yeah.
Do you know all the terminology
mm-hmm.
of straight jab, uppercut? Haymaker.
Yeah.
Haymaker. I don't think they yell haymaker.
Yeah,
that's
they
not
don't.
A real word.
It's, no, they don't yell haymaker.
They
really?
Don't? That's the just only... on video games?
Really?
Wait.
Hook?
Hook?
Okay.
They're not in the corner going,
haymaker!
Uppercut. Hook, jab, haymaker, haymaker.
Okay, so what's haymaker? Just on video games?
Yeah, I don't. Yes.
Okay.
Like yes. Okay. The only thing.
Are you sure?
I think they usually, and they don't even say jab. They say one, two, two, no. three, no, three, four, four.
In the corners, they do yes, but when you're training, it is a cross. It is a jab. It's a hook and it's
cross.
An uppercut.
What's the cross?
It's your other hand.
Yeah, you're hitting
not your
so
right.
So your jab is your main hand, and that's my
that's
left.
Right.
No. So because I am right-handed. My right hand is my power hand.
Okay.
So your jab is your left hand.
That's what keeps him at bay. That's what keeps him at bay.
That keeps the distance.
Yes.
Chup, chup, chup,
so you're
chup.
Just kind of hitting him like little
hits. Is that a one?
Hits.
Is that a one?
You could call that a one, yes. Okay.
In some corners, switch it up, though, because you got to have different terminology because the other corner would be like, oh, they know.
Like catchers.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And then so your cross is your power hit, so you're switching to your other, your power side.
Do you switch stance?
No, I can.
Are you a orthodox or a southpaw?
I'm not a southpaw. I'm just normal.
Okay. Is that right? Is that all right terminology?
I don't think orthodox is a word.
Why are you yelling at? Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know if orthodox.
Orthodox.
I've never heard orthodox.
Excuse me, go to ESPN and look UFC and they say orthodox stance or
maybe they do. I
southpaw.
Don't know. Maybe it just sounds weird coming from you hearing
what the
you
hell
say
did
it.
I say? I just said orthodox.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe hearing you say it makes I'm like, man, that sounds
so
weird.
So Joe Rogan says it sounds cool.
Maybe.
Orthodox.
I've never
maybe
heard
they do say orthodox. Now that you
it's
say
an ortho,
it.
Man. It's the orthodox stance. So you don't switch, you stay regular.
Yeah, I stay regular. Ortho. I can switch. Like I'm
yeah, look it up.
I'm not being a southpaw. I can if I wanted to, but I don't
do
have a lot of experience.
Do you feel vulnerable
yes.
when you southpaw it?
Yes, absolutely.
It
so
is.
I would just always stay in my
Coach,
main one.
I know it is.
That's funny. I thought they just say convinced.
You're laughing at me. I know a little bit about boxing.
To be fair, I've never heard it, but that's okay. I'm not watching fights.
Okay.
So. That's the difference.
And so when you train, your trainer goes, Morgan, we're going to do a 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 combo.
When it's
okay. You don't have to clear your throat.
Good,
it's just
good.
A podcast.
Yeah,
I know.
What is that, by the way?
It's my thyroid. And when my allergies go up, it really starts to act up.
It's just constant phlegm.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about getting your thyroid taken out?
No, you can do that.
Can you? No, Coach, I don't think it's
don't
like
think
your wisdom teeth.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's you're thinking of gallbladder.
It's like in your throat, and it's just kind of a part of you.
Okay.
Okay,
and then people get it inflamed, so mine's like inflamed.
That acts up, and then it produces like mm-hmm. some kind of phlegm.
Yeah, and when it's particularly bad when the seasons are bad, when they change.
Have you ever tested for tuberculosis?
No.
What?
You might want to check that because
is that an STD?
No, it's not an STD. It's an airborne disease, and it causes.
What? It's a legitimate
it
question.
Never heard of tuberculosis, and you have four kids. How?
I don't know. What do you do have a test? A shot for that, right?
No.
TB shot.
Yeah, there are tuberculosis shots to prevent it.
Is that the one when you step on a rusty nail, you get a TB shot?
No, that's tetanus.
Tetanus. We're all over the place.
I have no clue.
So tuberculosis is an airborne one, and I had it. So
oh, you did.
Yeah, I was having night sweats for years.
This is disgusting, by the way, M2.
I'm so intrigued. I've never known anybody's gotten tuberculosis.
So I would, in the middle of the night, I'd wake up, and I mean, sweating. And I'm not talking like, a little bead of sweat.
Sweating.
On my head. I'm talking like I just ran 5 miles. My bed is soaked in sweat. And I'd have to get a towel and dry off.
Ugh. What? Okay, that doesn't happen to me at night.
No. And so I just thought, I thought, oh, man, I need a new ceiling fan. So I put a new ceiling fan in. Okay.
Thinks that.
Okay.
I'm sweating. It feels like I've been in a pool. Let me fix this by changing the ceiling fan.
Maybe the ceiling fan.
How about just turn the air down?
Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe the ceiling fan wasn't working right. Okay. Maybe my blanket's too heavy. Let me get a new blanket. No, not that. Maybe my sheets. Maybe it's the type of sheets I have. So I bought new sheets. No, wasn't that either. Well, maybe I don't know what it is. So finally I was at the doctor one day.
You married at this point? No. You're so.
And
no, no.
We used to play the clip on the air. Let me clear my throat, because I'd always get phlegm. Huh. And I couldn't figure it out. I was like, I don't know, guys. That's just what happens.
So Bones would come to you, and you would have
phlegm. I would start talking to him, and he'd be like, all right, he'd hit the clip. And I'm like, dang it. I don't know.
And that can get kind
of
annoying.
I mean, you kind of know.
Yeah, I get it.
How that goes.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is all the time. And I was like, I don't know. So one time I was at the doctor, and I had hurt my toe. And he looked at it and, you know, whatever.
He
I thought
heard
I'd,
you go.
No. I thought I'd broken my foot, whatever. He's, oh, cool. He tells me it's no big deal. And I was like, oh, by the way, any reason why I sweat at night? And he's like, well, what do you mean sweat at night? And I said, oh, you know, like I like wake up like I've run 5 miles, like I am drenched in sweat. And he says, oh, why don't you stop by on your way out and, you know, do a blood, take some of your blood. And we'll, all right, cool. He goes, it's probably no big deal. We'll just check, you know.
They love saying that.
Yeah, no big deal. Yeah,
it's no big deal. So just then, give me your blood.
You wait like 24 hours and I get a call. And it's not from the nurse.
Oh,
it's from
bad.
The doctor.
Oh, yeah, that's crap. Always bad.
Is he say, are you sitting down?
He says, this is Dr. Shepherd. And I'm like, this is not good. If Dr. Shepherd is calling, I was thinking it was going to be Nurse Betty. But it's Dr. Shepherd. And he's like, hey, so, yeah, we need you to come back in and do one more test for, like, tuberculosis. And I'm like, okay. And I go back in. He calls me. Dr. Shepherd calls me the next day. He's like, hey, man, it seems like you got tuberculosis. And we're going to have to send you.
Who have you slept with in the last 6 months?
No, it's not a sleep with. No. It's an airborne disease.
Do you use protection?
And he said, so have you traveled outside the country to a third world country? And I was like, no.
Have you slept with a prostitute?
And so, no, didn't ask me that. So I had to go to the Center for Disease Control. And I had to meet with all these people. They had to do lung x-rays and breathing things. And where are you going?
She didn't like your story.
She didn't like my story.
She got offended by the prostitute.
Yeah. So.
Are you literally clearing your throat?
You could have done that right here.
No.
So.
Have you checked yourself for tuberculosis?
I'm looking up a side effect right now, and I don't have any of them.
What if she has tuberculosis?
I'm telling you. Okay. So right when the doctor tells me I have to go to the disease center and tuberculosis, I start looking it up.
You start crying.
No, I start looking
it up. I'm sorry. You start confessing all your sins.
I start looking.
I cheated.
I lied. I start looking
up. That's a movie. Y'all just making things
up. That's what he says.
Every time they say something, they always go, I cheated on my wife.
I'm sorry.
And tuberculosis.
I don't want to die.
No, that's serious. Like, people die from tuberculosis.
No, I know.
So I started looking it up, and I start freaking out. And I call my parents, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I might die. And we're freaking out.
You have TB.
Yeah, I have TB. And I'm like, so
and what does your dad say? Dang it, son, I told you to use protection.
No, it's nothing to do with protection, guys. Okay. It
Eddie is really focused on Eddie. They make you in college. I had waived this, which now I have so many suspicions.
Excuse me?
They make you get a tuberculosis shot in college to live in the dorms. And I waived the shot because I, again, have reactions to vaccines.
Whoa. This is another reason why you might have TB. Right?
I know. Yes. Now I'm like freaking out. I'm like,
whoa.
I don't want to start Googling.
I mean, she's been quiet.
That.
She's been Googling.
Yeah, she's been Googling.
All
right, so anyway, so I make my appointment with the Center for Disease Control right there on Town Lake, right off I-35.
It's okay, coach. No one knows where it is.
I know. And I go in, and I mean, they do a chest x-ray. They make me breathe into this machine. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I didn't have active TB. I had latent TB.
When was it active?
It was
at
never
at some
active.
Point, it was active.
No. So, and here's the thing. I'm in the waiting room. I'm the only one that speaks English. There is no, like, they're wow. all people. Like, whoever gets tuberculosis doesn't speak English for some reason because I was the only one.
Tuberculosis is a racist?
No. It comes from, like, underdeveloped countries. So it's people that travel and come to the United States.
So you slept with someone from another country.
I might have been on an airplane with him, something. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And so they said, okay, you can take these pills.
And did you ever do spring break in Mexico or anything?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Right.
There you go. That's where you got the TV from.
Dude, I am not joking. They told me, okay, you can take these pills, one a day for 9 months.
Was it a blue pill?
No, it was not a blue pill.
9 months?
9 months.
Hey, and he can't drink.
You cannot drink when you're on these pills.
That is the worst. See, if they gave you that pill today, you'd be like, no problem. I don't have
that. No.
Back in the day, though, you're talking lunchbox.
They said, if you take these pills for 9 months and do not, you take them for 9 months, it has less than a 1% chance of ever becoming active tuberculosis. So I will always live with tuberculosis in my body.
You have TB right now?
Yes.
So you have like some gene? That it, like, that's how you have it kind of thing?
No, he got it from spring break in Mexico.
I got it from somewhere. I don't know where.
And it, like, lives inactively in you forever.
Yeah, it's latent is what they
called
it. Kids,
this is why you always
wear
protection.
I don't
want
to go to the doctor.
And they said that if you don't take the pill, there's a 10% chance that you're going to have active TB at some point.
And then you can give it to someone else.
And they said a lot of people choose not to because they don't want to go 9 months without drinking.
I mean, I'm big on that.
And I was like,
What if you like accidentally have a drink one time?
Did you?
No.
Not one?
Not one.
Little sippy sip?
Nope. No, because I was like, no, I don't want to die. I was like, 9 months is worth it for me. And here's the best part. So I'm like, I'm still going to go out. First night I go out, and I'm sober because I can't drink.
Dun, 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 dun.
Some jackass puked on me at the bar.
And you were pissed.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And so you were drunk and be like, that's funny. I'll puke on you, too.
I was like, are you effing kidding me? Are you effing kidding me?
So you never went out again.
I puked right on my left shoulder, dude. Right on my left. And I was just like, mother. I was so pissed. So pissed.
So you took the pill
every day for 9 months.
Never drank, no sex, nothing, and then.
No, I never said no sex.
What? You can give it to someone else.
No, you cannot. It's not a sexually transmitted disease. It is an error-borne disease. So anyway.
So they told you you are not contagious.
Right, and here's the crazy
part.
You
went back to work?
Yeah. Oh, I had to bring a note from the disease center because Bobby wouldn't.
Oh, there's no way he's going to let you in the studio.
He wouldn't let me in the studio.
Yeah, of course.
Dude, night sweats, gone.
After that pill.
After the pill. Unbelievable. Phlegm.
Coach, that's usually how medicine works.
No.
Like, he acts isn't it crazy? I had a headache. I took the pill. Morgan number two. Never had a headache.
But here's the thing.
What are you talking about? That's how medicine works.
I lived with the night sweats for like 2 years because I just thought, oh, man, there's something like my ceiling fan. I didn't ever know. I had no idea.
You were a walking TV, dude.
I was a tuberculosis walking fool around this world.
Absolutely
for 2 years sweating. I mean.
Why do you say sweating?
I would have chicks.
Sweating.
Do you understand? I would have chicks in my bed.
You probably gave them TB.
And I would sweat so bad that I'd have to put a towel
down.
He
acts like he had chicks in his bed all the time. Like, you did not have.
Yes,
I
did.
About 50 chicks in my bed where I sweat everywhere. Well, then you probably gave them TB.
No. I was not contagious.
After you were diagnosed, did you have to tell all your partners that you had TB?
No, I didn't have to do any of that. But it's crazy.
It's airborne, though. I don't understand.
But
that.
It was not active.
That's so
and how
wild.
Was it never active?
I don't know.
At some point in your 2 years, they can't promise you that you weren't active at one point. You probably gave 100 people TB.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not a scientist.
Who's calling you?
I don't know.
Answer it.
No, 615.
Answer it.
All right.
That's Nashville.
Hello.
Thanks, Sam. Speaker, what are you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, man? Oh, yeah. You want to go ahead and give them to me?
It's the results. It's the medical results.
Wait, is it really?
Yeah. Your TB came back.
What's happening?
What? How?
Eddie, I did not come on this podcast to have to want to go get a doctor's appointment. That's not how this works.
No, I know.
I don't feel good right now.
Do you feel like you have TB?
No, I don't. Because I don't have any of the other symptoms.
What are the odds right now that he's getting a call and they're like, this is a doctor. What was the doctor's name?
I don't know. The TB doctor.
Dr. Whitmore. And saying, your TV's back. Because I just heard
wild the universe.
I just heard him right now on the phone say something's back, or your results,
awesome.
Your test results
great.
Are back.
Okay. Oh, he
okay,
said
that's
great.
Great.
Okay, so good news. Good news.
Okay.
Oh yeah, we get good news.
Let's see. Let's see if we can find out what he's saying just by his reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Uh oh. He's giving him the results right now. He's writing. He's waiting to write something down. He hasn't written anything down yet. Well, he wrote one thing down.
This is a play-by-play. It's so exciting.
The one thing he wrote down was shoulder Benin. Bacon. It's either Benin or bacon.
Benign. It's benign.
Shoulder benign.
Benign.
Break that down. What does that mean?
That
shoulder
means there's,
benign.
There was a lump somewhere and it's benign. That's good news.
Oh, it's his dog.
Yeah.
It's an update on his dog.
Yeah, that's good news.
Or is it his kid?
No, I don't. Maybe dog.
This is the update on the dog. I can see it in his face. He's very serious. The doctor's
okay, but
talking.
Seriously, do I need to go to a doctor?
For what, Hep?
No, TB. Why do you always want to go to the sexual
No, 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 it's not that. It's that I remember when he had TB, and I remember thinking it was Hep. As soon as he found out that he had tuberculosis, I remember. It's a big deal. Like, could you go that long without drinking? Be real.
If it was for my health, yes, absolutely.
Oof.
It would be rough. Like, it would be hard to, like, socialize. Because the thing with drinking for me, I don't drink all week. Like, I really don't. People think I do all the time.
Friday.
The weekends I do.
You're dealing with 10 Fridays that you're going to have to be like,
oh, I know.
I can't do it. And your friends are going to be like, come on, just one. Let's go.
Oh, no. But you know what? I'm really good at like getting my friends to drink, but I am a rock when it comes to like my own peer pressure. Like I do not fall for crap.
I was thinking about that because, you know, on the big show, we were talking about how what would be your dream job?
Yes.
And okay, let's do that.
I said deep sea fishing, like a charter fishing guide or whatever.
Yeah.
And I always felt like it'd be cool. Like I'd be a fun party host. Like, all right, I bought a lot of beer. I brought food, whatever. And we're going to do that in between our fishing and all. But I don't know if I could hang with 10 dudes and watch them drink and me not want to drink. Like,
yeah, no.
I feel like that'd be really hard.
Well, that's the whole thing with drinking.
All right, thank you so much.
It's such a social activity.
Yeah.
All right, it's all about like hanging out with your friends and doing things. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
So no.
But like, it'd be hard to sit there and watch 10 friends
but
drink.
But if you have a really good reason not to, you could.
Like Hep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TV.
What happened?
Good news?
It's a dog.
Yeah, it's my dog.
Shoulder benign.
Yeah, the shoulder, because he had a growth on his left shoulder, and so
Was it a tumor?
Well, I took him in, and they had taken some cells out, and it was inconclusive on if it was cancer or not. So then he had other growths, and so they had to have surgery, and he had 10 growths removed. The good news is the shoulder was benign, but some other ones had cancer. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Lunch.
Shouldn't have taken the call.
But they removed the growths.
Yeah, but now I have to go meet with an oncologist and just see if it's spread. Shouldn't have taken the call. Oh, man. Yeah.
We can pause.
No, we're good.
Let's pause.
No, we're all right. Let's just do it. Damn. That sucks, man. Like, yeah.
How old is she?
He's 12.
Oh, he.
He's 12. 12 or 13. I mean, I don't know. They said he was 2 when I got him, but you never know when you get him from the... Because they say, you know, he was a puppy for a long time after I got him, so I feel like he was probably a year when I got him, and then he didn't ever grow out of the puppy stage because he was ripping up dog beds, ripping up everything, and... When he's out of the puppy stage, he's supposed to be out of the puppy stage. So, man.
Well,
Lunch, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, hopefully everything comes out negative.
They can get through that. Dogs can get through that.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks. I went through it with my last dog. I mean, with Niobe.
Same thing?
She had a sac grow and it was like a hangy-bangy, you know, fatty tissue for a long time and then... Someone on Instagram told me, hey, you might want to get that checked out. And it ended up, I did, and it was cancer. And she battled cancer for a year and a half. And, oh, man. Okay. What do you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about?
Well, we've talked about some serious issues here.
Yeah, so you want to talk about some fun issues?
Yeah.
NFTs?
Yeah. Non-fungible, tangible.
Okay, Morgan number 2, do you know what NFTs
are? There's no chance.
No, is this that random like thing that people are buying online? They're like video cards or something?
Yes. Okay.
Social media. That's the only reason I know.
So Eddie brought this to us. He brought an expert on who confused us even more.
Because it's confusing as crap.
And then we brought this Calcutta Mike guy on, and he nailed it and explained it to us.
Still confusing as crap. And let me add, at the end of that conversation with Calcutta Mike, who made perfect sense, Lunchbox still said, I don't get it.
No, I don't get why people are paying so much money for these things.
Do you get that now?
No, still
don't. Exactly.
But, Morgan, number 2, I am in the NFT business now, okay?
So you bought something.
So I've been on NBA Top Shot. They release packs, and there's these cards, and you try to sell them, and you try to make money. And so, and they have like, oh, okay, today we have 50,000 packs, so you got to get in the queue, and then you get randomly assigned a number, and sometimes you get a pack, sometimes you don't.
So are they essentially like virtual sports cards?
Yes. That's correct.
Exactly what they are.
Okay.
But some of them are
selling. And they all have serial numbers.
Yes. And some of them are selling for $2,500, $50,000. I mean, all outrageous amounts of numbers. Thousands.
Or some of them sell for $1.
Yeah, or they sell for $5. So I was like, all right, I got to get in on this. And I started buying some, trying to buy packs.
All sports.
No, just basketball.
It's just the NBA, and it's only this season, right? This season or last season?
I mean, as far as I know, it's just this season.
It's only moments of this season.
Hmm.
So it's not like you get a Hakeem Olajuwon or a Kobe Bryant card. Like, those, that's they didn't play this season.
Okay.
Right.
I'm getting it now.
So I start buying these packs, and Eddie's calling me an idiot, telling me I'm stupid, I'm wasting my money, and then one pack is, oh, you got to have like 15 moments, so I got to get on there and buy more moments.
They kept making him spend more money to even qualify for these pack drops, right? So even you're not guaranteed a pack.
You're not guaranteed a pack,
but you need to buy 15 packs today.
No, 15 moments.
Or 15 moments, which are going to cost them $6 each, the cheapest.
But when they announce that it's going to cost 15 moments, the marketplace, everybody raises their prices, so every card or every moment goes up to $15.
Yeah, so he's buying cards for $15
now. Okay, so let me ask you this. What's the purpose of it? Just to have them or so you can buy, like, so you can trade and sell them?
Trade, sell, make money.
Mine is just to sell.
So you can make more money?
Yes.
That's what most people are doing. They don't want it to keep a fake card that's not even real. Like, yeah. They don't want it.
What I was wondering. Like, it just sits on your computer. So what do you...
They want to buy it, turn it, make profit,
but
goodbye.
Why would somebody else buy a virtual...
That's what I don't understand about why are people paying that much for it? Like, why is it so valuable to them that they're willing to pay $10,000 for a video moment on their computer? I don't get it. But if I have the chance to sell it and make money, I'm all in. So I'm trying it, right?
Do you feel like it's, I don't know if this is the right word for it, but kind of like a Ponzi scheme where it's like basically other people are just buying it so then they can keep upselling it. And then eventually somebody gets stuck with it and they lose all that money.
That's exactly what this is. Yes.
It's all about making the money, right?
It's a fake marketplace.
Yeah.
So you have a fake marketplace with fake product. And all you do is raise the value of every product. Then it goes up. People make money. But then you know what? Once it gets to a certain level, no one's going to buy it. You're stuck with it. And it's worth nothing.
Right.
So that is the definition of a Ponzi scheme.
Okay. I was right. Right?
And
okay.
Lunchbox is in the middle of
it. Okay. So you bought one.
I bought more than one.
How many did you buy?
I bought packs. Okay.
Wait. How many? I need a number.
Right now I have 34 moments in my collection.
What?
And let me remind you, this all started with him saying, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This is so dumb. I don't get it.
Okay.
And here
so
he
how
is.
Much do you anticipate to make all of?
Well, here's the thing. I started out, I just bought a couple of them, right? Just so I could be eligible for a pack drop.
Yes.
And
this is where they got him to be part of raising that market value.
Scheme.
Right. So
this is just a part to get everyone to spend more money so that market value goes up. And that's what it does.
Yes, you're right. And so then I bought a pack. I got a pack and I got a couple cards. Like one of them right now is worth $24. I bought the pack for $9, so I can sell my card for $24. I made $15 right there, right?
Is that money in your account?
Not yet. I haven't sold the card yet.
Got it.
It's still there. So then there was one coming out, and Calcutta Mike said, I think you're going to need 15 moments to be eligible for this pack. So I start buying
moments
and buying
cards.
And buying.
Okay.
And I didn't get a pack. So I have all these moments. But then I've gotten a couple packs since then.
How many things are in a pack?
Sometimes there's three, sometimes there's five.
Okay.
So right now
you have 34 individual cards, basically.
Yeah, I have individual moments, right?
Okay.
So I bought a pack and I got a Mike Conley. I paid $99 for the pack.
I'm sorry. You paid $100 for this?
No, you know what it is, right? It's nothing.
No. Morgan number two.
You know,
this is making my hair stand up.
You know it's nothing, right?
Yeah.
Morgan number two, you want to come see one of my moments?
Yeah, let me
come
see
here
what
and watch
these
this.
Are. Let me see what these are.
So that Mike Conley I got in the pack, though, I sold for $200. So I paid $99 for it.
And you paid $99 for five.
For five, and I sold it for $200.
So you made $100.
Yes. So here's a moment. Look at this.
Who is that?
TikTok.
Ah, but that's lunchboxes. This video clip, serial number 23143, is lunchboxes.
You can literally either make this from your TV screen to TikTok, or what?
No. It's not about this. That's what I'm saying.
Know, that's what
it's
saying.
Not even right, about go, this go, video.
Oh wait,
clip.
You want to see a different one? Wait, come back. You want to see a different one?
It's literally
you want to see a great
ways.
One? Oh,
like, which?
Morgan Wait, number two, it's not even about
you
want to this
see a dunk?
Media.
Oh, watch this one. Watch this one. Oh. Watch this. Oh, spin move.
Ooh,
dunk!
That's cool.
Oh!
How much did you buy that one for?
That was in my $14 pack.
So you bought that for $14?
No, yeah. And it's worth
$100. Nice. Sell it.
Okay.
I will.
I admit that they're cool, but I just feel like this is something you can get for free on the internet, on social media.
Right.
It's not about the clip. He doesn't want the clip.
Right. I don't want the clip. I don't give
you
a crap
the
about the clip.
I know. You're
I want
money.
The money. So,
I just can't believe people are buying these.
This is the funny thing. He thinks he's the only one buying it to make money.
No, I don't. I said I don't know who the people are that are selling these, like, are buying them to collect them. I don't understand.
No one.
Is this considered technically like another betting thing?
It's like, kind of like the stock market.
It's a stock market betting.
It's basically different
kind of betting. For the NBA.
Yeah. So, yeah, and you know who's behind it?
Who?
The NBA.
Oh, yeah. They're,
They are banking.
See, what I could see being really cool and they could make more money is like really legendary moments from history.
Yes. Now, those will come.
That could be really cool.
I bet they're working on that
right
now.
They're working on that, probably.
Because I feel like this is like you can watch highlights on ESPN or whatever, right?
And yes.
Like,
but even the legendary ones from history, we have those too. I'll Google it right now.
I know, but I'm just saying those make more sense for somebody to be willing to pay so much money for.
No.
Right now, that doesn't make sense to me.
But it's not even like you own it. You don't own it.
I know, but I'm just...
It's not like you even own that video clip and no one can use it.
You're right.
And if Gatorade wants to use it in their commercial, well, they have to pay Lunchbox $1 million for it. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that would allow me to understand this. And people spending money on this a little bit more.
No.
Right now, I do not understand.
Morgan number two, I'm with you. I don't understand it either. So then, I got a pack the other day, and it was the Hustle and Show pack. And I got a card, cool, that's worth $40. And I was like, man, I'm going to sell it. Then I started talking to Calcutta Mike, and we started doing a deep dive on we started looking at someone else's profile on this. And this dude on here.
Be real, Calcutta Mike did all the work.
No. Me and him were just looking at different cards. So my Mike Conley, we wanted to look up how much it was worth now. I sold it for $200. Now it's worth $289.
Okay.
So I could have held on to it and sold it more.
But, sure. I mean, you could do that.
Right.
What's the most you've made off of one of these?
That was
so
the most. The $100 was the most so far.
Okay.
And then, so I threw another one up there.
But they're being teased by the $100,000 sales that
are
going
on. Yes, I'm hoping.
Yeah, because they're trying to get the big bucks.
Yeah, you're trying to hit the jackpot. You're trying to hit that card.
Why are you so smart?
Because this is freaking literally like gambling. This is the exact same thing.
And these idiots trying to get rich quick. You know who gets rich quick? No one.
So anyway, I start looking up the card. My Mike Conley, it's worth $289 now is what someone has it listed at. So then I start looking. There's another guy on there, and I click on his profile. Since January, when he joined this thing, he has sold 667 cards or moments for a total of $263,000 in sales. He has a profit of $100,000 since January.
He probably is a fake person.
Yeah, I feel like he's a
fake person.
Why wouldn't he be a fake person that you can just do different stats and then be, look at this guy. Like, he made millions of dollars.
Because
you too can make $1 million, but you have to buy 20 packs first. Don't be an idiot.
No, because
don't be an idiot.
Then who bought these cards?
It's fake people. Why is that shocking to you that somebody could do fake people and fake stories and fake $1,000 transactions?
Yeah, there could be like fake NBA people and they're just rocking up the prices.
Like, you're not even considering that?
No.
That is ridiculous.
Did you not see that?
You are a businessman making business deals, making that money, entrepreneur.
No, trying to get that money.
Trying to get that money and you're falling for the stupidest Ponzi scheme ever.
Did you see the NFT that sold for $400,000 the other day?
Of the girl.
Yeah.
The fire girl.
Exactly.
You know which one that is?
No, I have no idea.
That's the girl, there's a burning house behind her and she looks at, what's her face doing?
Like,
oh, wait, she's on there?
No. That's an NFT. It's just a video clip.
And someone bought it for $400,000.
That's why I'm recording all the stuff in the podcast, and we're about to sell it all.
But anyway, so
right now, Morgan number two, laughing at that joke is a moment and will be for sale in 10 minutes.
Oh, this feels wrong. It feels so dirty.
So then they also have these challenges, okay, where they put up a challenge.
So stupid.
No, you're not listening.
No, I am.
Okay. And it's like, okay, if you collect all these in the challenge, you get a special card.
Okay, but why do you want a special card?
Because
he doesn't even answer for that.
You can only get that card if you complete the challenge. So I was looking and there was a Hustle and Show challenge. Okay.
Okay.
God, I can't believe I'm about to admit to this. So you had to, I had one of them from there. And it was the Colin Sexton assist.
Whoa, watch your language.
Wait, okay. I know him.
You know him?
Colin Sexton?
Yeah.
You date him? Morgan number two.
No, it's a different it's a different one. Oh, no.
So, guys, guys.
Morgan, your face.
Oh my god.
You're like calling.
No, it was when I was trying to figure out if it was the same one. You were like making innuendos, and I just couldn't.
Wait.
No,
Colin?
It's not the same one. Because you said this is all basketball,
oh
right?
Oh my god.
Yes, all basketball.
No.
So who's a football player?
Yeah, I can't say. No, I never dated him.
You have to.
Dang, girl.
You're thinking. Okay.
Okay, move on.
The Hustle and Show Challenge. You have to collect 8 cards in this. They give you these 8 cards you have to collect to complete
Coach,
the challenge.
I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
No.
Oh, my god.
So, guys, I had one of them.
Okay.
So, I spent
$220. You paid $220?
To qualify for this pack drop?
No. To qualify for to complete this challenge.
Hustle and Flow?
Hustle and Show. And so, now, I will be able to get the Giannis card. The Hustle and Show Giannis, and only people that complete the challenge will have the chance to get this card. So it's a rare card.
I mean, are you listening to him talk?
This is literally the worst Ponzi scheme I've ever heard in my
life. This is like
my
13-year-old. I mean, Dad, listen.
I need this.
It's foolproof. Dad, all I need is $20,000. All right, Dad? And I can get the Giannis. Like, you're such an idiot.
Nothing.
So I paid $220.
Dad, all I need is $200, Dad.
I bought the Rudy Gobert, R.J. Hampton, Alex Caruso, Kent Bazemore, Sadiqe Bey.
Number two goes Alex Caruso.
Colin Sexton, Marcus Smart, Chris Chioza.
I know Alex Caruso.
I didn't do that much in college, Eddie.
Hey, I bought all 8, and I have completed the challenge. So the challenge ends in 3 days. And once it ends.
Well, good luck, Coach.
I will get the Giannis. And I could get serial number 1. Because what if only.
Oh, God.
Okay, so if you do get this card,
right?
What are you going to try and sell it for?
Well, it depends what number I get. Hopefully, I get a low serial number.
He's going to get serial number 1 and then sell it for what?
$10,000.
Okay, but if you don't, do you think you're not going to make your money back?
No, I think I can sell it for $200 because it's going to
You can at least break even.
That's what the whole point. Yes.
Really? That's the whole point to do all this to break even?
No.
Really? That's the whole point?
But
you're wasting all this time to break even? Your whole point is to make $10,000.
My whole point is to get rich.
Right. And that's not happening right now.
Right, but if I break even, that's cool. You fight to live another day. It's sort of like in Vegas when you play blackjack. A push is a win because you get to play another hand. As long as you don't take a loss.
Here's the sad part. I see it in your eyes, and you truly believe in all this, and you're truly believing that you have a chance to get $10,000.
Yeah.
I don't want to get your hopes up, but I just feel like
I feel really bad for you right now.
But I have cards that, like, right now, you want to hear about my collection?
No, well, because this is going to be a 2-hour-long podcast if we keep going.
Right. I know. I'm just going to tell you, my collection right now, I have in there $165. I can make $165 of all I spent. So right now, my collection is worth $551.
Wow, Coach. It's awesome. Excited for you.
And when I get this Giannis and it's worth a lot of money, boy, I'm going to be making bank.
Yeah, you are.
I completed my first challenge because I looked
at this
guy.
You going to buy the Lambo?
Maybe. But I looked at this guy that has made
$100,000. Who is he?
His name is.
Is he real?
Yeah.
Can you email him or is there a contact?
I don't know. Maybe that's his Twitter name.
Yeah, maybe. Look him up.
Okay.
See if he's a real dude. I bet he's not.
I do hope for your sake that you make all this money because I think it'd be a really cool story, but I just feel like this is the worst.
I've made money so far. Like,
Coach,
I'm in the positive.
You're not making any money. You're just part of the whole market.
Yeah, no, I feel like you're just moving your money around.
That's all you're doing.
Making it.
Moving your money around so that they can make money.
No, I'm making money. When I buy something for $99 and sell it for $200, I made money.
You're also moving the market.
But I don't care. What? I made my money.
Okay, but
they
you're
can
still
make their money too.
Then quit right now and have your hundo.
I don't. 100's not enough.
Can I ask an adult question based off of this gambling? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Do you guys have any stocks invested?
I don't know how to do that.
No, I have stocks.
You got any good ones for me that I should invest in?
I don't know anything about that stuff. I just have stuff that I've had for a long time.
Do you
that's
feel
it.
Like you guys should maybe pay attention to stocks more than your gambling?
No, I only gamble $30 a month. Like that's
your limit.
And I don't gamble to get rich. I know that I'm not going
to
get rich.
You're gambling to have fun.
I gamble to get me through the month. Like literally there are just some days where I've got nothing going on and the kids are asleep and my wife fell asleep early and I'm like, look, there's a West Coast game going on. Let me gamble on it. $2 that the Lakers are going to win. And then I watch that and the Lakers win. I'm like, woo, won $2, going to bed happy. That's all I do.
Okay, that's why you gamble. Meanwhile, Lunchbox is gambling to make money.
He's trying to get rich.
Got it.
I'm trying. This is something that has taken over the world, and it's not going anywhere. So I am trying to strike while the iron is hot.
All right. Can we move on to your interview?
Yeah.
Did you buzz out after the interview?
No, I did not buzz out after the interview.
You know that you should always buzz out.
I should, and I'm sorry. And okay. I'm going to tell you what, I did bring a special guest on for the interview.
Huh?
I brought someone in to ask questions.
Your wife?
No, but.
Your cousin?
Enjoy it. Mark Long.
Batterthbuck?
Listen, guys, you're going to want to hear this. I mean, it's great. It's a great interview.
All right.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Is there a UFC this weekend?
I don't know.
Oh.
I've got to call the vet back. But
okay, yeah. Sorry about that. And
thank you.
Good luck with all that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be praying for you, man.
All right.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, bye. No, not aunt.
It's half aunt.
Half an aunt.
Aunt.
And then we'll go back and add an aunt at the end of the interview?
No, it'll just end. They'll know.
They'll know?
Yeah, they'll know.
All right. Hey, listen. We got something really cool to happen in this interview. Like, huge.
Yeah, I've heard.
For our podcast.
I've heard. Okay.
Huge.
All right, goodbye, everyone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listen, we had this guy on a few weeks ago, and I may have geeked out just a little bit. Might have hogged the interview, and Eddie and Ray got pissed. And they're like, dude, you didn't even let us ask Mark Long one single question. So I said, okay, let's bring Mark Long back. What's up, Mark?
Oh, as always, my friends, coming in hot and ferocious, 6'3", 220 pounds of twisted steel. You know how I roll.
And Mark, I got to confess to you. I didn't even tell Eddie and Ray that I booked you again. They're not here. I didn't tell them.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Because
so we can have personal time.
Yes, we can have personal time because, listen, Mark, they don't watch the challenge. Ray watched it back in the day, and they make fun of me because I still talk about the challenge All-Stars, and how invested I am in this programming, and they think it's ridiculous, but I'm sorry. I geek out. I've been addicted since I was, you know, a teenager, and I can't help it.
Hey, I'm par for the course here, my man. I've been involved not only in this challenge, but I've been a fan of this challenge for years and years and years, 20 years plus. So every time I meet someone that has watched for that long, I appreciate the support. It has not been my first time where I've met someone that's been like a crazy fan, which loves it. And I love that. So thank you for having me back on, man. I'm ready to spit fire as usual.
Okay, let's spit fire because we're going to start. We're not going to start with Challenge All-Stars because we're going to talk about the Challenge Double Agents. And the finale, when Fessy, Mr. Big Talker, who, I mean, he is the most, I don't even understand it. He is the most arrogant competitor ever, I think, on the challenge to have never done anything. And then he says, I'm not going to eat. I'm good. I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah, I have a problem with folks like that, especially the new kids that come on and the resume that they try to boast and put in front of everyone's face. Does not include any final wins. It doesn't include any money that is won in the bank account. It's all these, hey, I beat this smaller guy on a daily challenge or an elimination. Should be called the crown prince of the new challenge. Well, it doesn't work that way, Fessy. And you've got to earn your stripes. There's only a few challenge champions that can say they've won multiple times, myself included in that conversation. So until he wears that crown of at least winning a championship, shut his big fat face up because we're tired of listening to it. You know what I mean?
I agree with you 100%. And then he goes on the reunion. And this is what drives me nuts. This is what infuriates me. And he says, and he starts to say, oh, it's because Casey blew out her knee. No. Casey still got up and hobbled her ass to the eating station and said, here, I'm going to keep eating. So until they were going to say, you're out, Casey was not going to give up. But he just was looking for an excuse to not blame himself.
I think you hit the nail on the head because I'm not going to give too much away. But in later episodes of the challenge, we might have a scenario where something like this plays out to, you know, perfectly. And you'll see how the old school challengers deal with this situation compared to the young, spoiled, entitled challenger like a Fessy. Because when we grew up, we didn't care if we were playing for $1 million or a Tempur-Pedic bed. We come up, show up ready to compete 1,000% with the same energy, the same excitement. And the guy, listen, is he a great villain? Of course. Someone's got to be the villain and someone's got to be the punching bag.
But
he makes it so easy for us. Yes, he makes it so easy for us.
And the problem is he doesn't think he's the villain. That's the thing. He thinks he is beloved when he is not. He thinks that everybody likes him.
He better read the comments below his social media posts or any post that is posted about him. He's definitely I wouldn't call him a fan favorite. I would call him very popular within that fan community. But listen, like I said, until you wear the championship ring, you know, anyone can go in there and win an elimination or win a daily challenge. It's part of the game. But, you know, when you reach that final and there's many legs of it, mental, physical, social, until and what cracks me up is as the challenges are now evolving, there are less and less people from the original show on it, which I think they're trying to give this guy a layup, right? Like, listen,
yes,
we've taken out all the great competitors, step up and do something. He's still shit in the bed. So I don't know what the guy's problem is.
Now, I love the way you go right at him. And even because on the reunion, he says, oh, you know what I mean? There's not one person on the challenge in the history of the challenge that can beat me in a physical competition. And you immediately said, yo, Fessy, I could beat you in a physical competition. Is this setting up? No. I'm just looking into producer's eyes. And as you, as a producer and a caster, you know, you do the casting for some shows. Is this setting up for a season of Mark Long versus Fessy?
Well, I've mentioned this early. Call it a soft pitch, if you will. But, you know, I could see the Challenge All-Stars going for many seasons. And then almost like a spin-off Super Bowl, I could see an individual one-off of some of these younger cats versus some of the OGs. And it would be my pleasure to strap on the mouthpiece and go one-on-one in a physical competition against Fessy. I think the fans would love it. I know the franchise would love it, but yeah, you know, I'm not Nelson. You know, I don't have to get on a shoebox to look at this guy in the face. I can look at it standing flat on the ground. So, you know, like I said, I played sports myself. I know how to deliver a hit with a one-on-one hall brawl. I know how to hang on to a pole and pole wrestle with this guy. So I think it's, you know, in a perfect world, can we expect it? Absolutely. I mean, the fans would go absolutely batshit crazy for it, and I would too. So we'll see.
Now, something I would like, I would love for you guys, like, I don't know if I heard this on Bill Simmons' podcast, or maybe if you could do live in the duels, like if you had a crowd, like, I don't know how you would pull that off, but that would be maybe the most incredible thing ever. The hyped, like, it's hyped with everybody up there yelling and screaming at you that's on the cast. But to have actual fans in the arena, oh, my God.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And I think as we are getting cleared up from this COVID situation, right, where it's not having to wear masks or being in a social environment, like the UFC just pulled off an event that was pretty crowded, which was great. I'm a big UFC fan, but I think for something as big as this, if something as big as that Super Bowl style of competition, I think it would only serve it just if we had a live audience screaming for your favorites, that raw emotion. I think we should each have walkout music and you know, the spotlight on us, like a UFC entrance. We can make this, the sky's the limit with this stuff, because I think with All-Stars, it's reinvigorated this challenge with such a fan base and such an excitement among fans as well as media outlets like yourself. So I think the injection of the energy and positivity coming out of this All-Stars season has really given it new wings. And now the sky's the limit with anything else we do in the future, especially with the younger kids, if we decide to incorporate them somehow later down the line.
Now, I'm going to go to the phone line because we have one of our listeners that's a member of Sore Losers Nation. His name's Brady. He's from Las Vegas. Diehard challenger. We tweet back and forth about the challenge. Eddie and Ray, I didn't tell him about the interview, but I brought him on because he has some questions for you, Mark. Hit it up. Where, Brady?
For sure.
Brady, you there?
Coaches, how we doing?
Can you hear him, Mark?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Brady.
All right, Brady, hit away.
First off, it's a pleasure to speak to the Godfather of reality TV.
Question. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate
it. Jemmy described the early seasons of the challenge as, quote, adult summer camp. However, over the last decade, the challenge has become more about physical fitness. Do you think the show needs to get back to including more of the drama that really built the challenge?
You see, I'm going to go out on a separate wing here and say no. And this is the reason why.
Hmm.
I really think with the other challenge now, they have a new, a different audience. It's there's room for both franchises. So I think one of the kind of aspects of the show that I love we're doing in All-Stars is that ability to show those relationships and the drama and the kind of personal social situations outside of the competition. So me being greedy and being very protective of All-Stars, that is what's making this show such a huge hit this year, is those aspects of the show. I think that other version, although there's different aspects of that, they don't touch on it as much. It's more about the physical competition, and the guys and girls show up like they're going into the Olympics because they're all just pretty much in great shape. But I think now that we've separated, they should let us do the newer, improved version. They can still do their own, because I think there's an audience for both. And I've seen fans from each side that love both shows. So me being greedy, I want to keep our style, and let them keep doing what they're doing.
Awesome. Another question that I have for you is, recent seasons have seen the emergence of new challengers such as Fessy and Pauly Califiori. Both of them joined the challenge, talked huge game, and have nothing to show for it. Do you believe the OG vets would have handled the behavior differently than today's vets?
Oh, 1,000%. We were just talking about this. You know, I actually know Pauly. And, you know, Pauly's competitive, and he's, you know, as we speak, he's training to try out for the Olympics and bobsledding. So, you know, I love Pauly.
Hold on. Did you just say that Pauly is going to try out for the Olympics in bobsledding?
He's training right now. I think he has tryouts in June. He's been posting some training videos and sent me some direct messages. But yes, he's actually, you know, putting his money where his mouth is and using some of that athleticism and his speed to try out to be on the downhill bobsled team, which I think is awesome.
Incredible. All right, now go on, keep going. I'm sorry. That was breaking news to me.
So yeah, I think they'd be treated differently. I mean, you know, there's sort of, not to say that there's a bully mentality, but there is a cockiness mentality on these newer challengers that have come in from other shows that, you know, if they came around some of the true OGs, I think they'd be treated differently. And maybe that's an age or a respect thing, because, you know, I don't stand for the guys bashing the girls anymore or trying to throw them under the bus or, you know, call them the B word, stuff like that. I don't stand for that on the All-Stars show. I don't stand for it on social media, but I just think some of these younger cats, because they've had it easier on other shows. Listen, Big Brother is a great show, but it's not the challenge. So they might find that challenge easy, but when you come into our official challenge, it's a lot harder to make it to the end and win. So I definitely think they would have been treated differently. And like I said, if we ever do an All-Star version, you can see that firsthand, because there's one thing I'm not going to let happen, and that's Fessy talk shit to me, talk shit to any of my girls, or act like he's the, you know, got the biggest, you know what, swinging in the house, because that's not going to be right. And it's not going to happen, period.
Speaking of other reality shows, if you were able to go on Big Brother, Survivor, how do you think you would fare?
That's a great question, because I'm such a Big Brother fan. Like, I love Big Brother, and I know a bunch of Survivor people as well. I think I've got a pretty crafty social game. And I think with shows like Big Brother, rallying a group early and kind of floating on that social wing, I would do very well. When I made it down toward the end of that, if that was happening, I think it'd be a little difficult, because people would probably smarten up and at least try to get me out of there before the final. But I'd feel very confident going a long way in a show like Big Brother, just for my social skills and how I play the game, you know, quote unquote, pretty fairly. Survivor's a different story, man. Holy shit. Survivor is definitely a different story. I'm a big guy that's used to eating, man. And I think I could do well. It's just Big Brother, I think I would fare better in, if I was going to be completely honest.
See, because I've only watched one season of Big Brother. It was this last one, and it was All-Stars, and I felt like it was so boring because no one did anything. No one made any moves. No one tried to ruffle any feathers. Everybody just went along with everything. And I was like, well, this sucks, man. And everybody's talked about it for years. And I finally got into it because it was pandemic and we couldn't go anywhere. So I didn't have anything to do at night. And it's on three nights a week. I mean, that's a little egotistical in its own right. If we could get the challenge three nights a week, good. But Big Brother, that's a lot of damn time for nothing to happen.
Yeah, and I think with this past season of Big Brother All-Stars, people felt like they were safe and in a really good group, so there weren't any big moves. You got to give it another shot, though, and watch a regular season with all new cast members, because that's when they get a little bit dirtier, a little bit more, because the unknown, you know, they don't have relationships outside the show whatsoever. But, yeah, I agree the All-Stars of Big Brother was a little, you know, non-eventful. But, again, I would love to put my hat in the ring at there sometime and play that game too. You know, I've competed a lot growing up, and that's just, I love the competition of it all, whether it's a challenge or whether it's, you know, doing the egg toss in the backyard with my niece. You know what I mean? I'm competition all the time.
And so you bring these people back into All-Stars and on the challenge. How does the pay work? Because TJ's like, or you know what? If you finish in third place, you get no money. Well, there's no way these people are going for 6 weeks and not getting paid.
No, we always get an appearance fee. Okay. And I think that's based on how many seasons you've done. Because obviously you want to reward those people that have done more. It just makes sense. But, you know, we're definitely making something to show up. It's nothing to, you know, shake a stick at. It's just, you know, you're not going there. Our egos come in the way, right? You're not going there just to get the show money. You're going there to make a stand, put on a great performance, and take home the ultimate cash. Because listen, you know, you could say I've been in 15 challenges, but if you haven't said you've won one, you're just lumped into that regular competitor kind of bucket. So the fact that there's been some repeat championship winners like the CTs, the who else? The Johnny Bananas, of course, myself. So it's nice to compete and show up and make some cash. It's even nicer though to win that championship and bring home a big chunk.
Speaking of best of all time, Brady has a question about that when it comes to the, you know, challengers.
Go for it.
So counting OG All-Stars, I believe this is the 37th season, and it's been going on for 23 years. Across all formats and all time frames of the challenge, which four challengers are you putting on your Mount Rushmore?
Oh, so I'm going to exclude myself because that would be egotistical, right? I'll exclude myself, even though this past summer with one tweet, I pulled off the biggest shakeup in reality television history and bought a lot of your favorite OGs back.
We love you for that. I cannot ever, like, if I ever see you, I might go hug you and you might freak out, but it is so amazing to see the OGs back. Like, it is so amazing. It's such a good feeling to have that back together. Cause I've wondered about what happened to Katie. Like, I don't follow the people on social media cause I don't want to know what happens on the shows. And so it's like, Wow, she's a mom. Trishelle's a mom. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm, and you know what? Your same energy, I swear to God, your same energy is shared, I think, with so many fans and other media outlets. It's just what a breath of fresh air this is. And what, you know, what a way to pull on those nostalgic heartstrings, right? It's just, you've grown up with these people. You've seen these people since they were 18, 19, 20 years old. Now you're their age or older. So besides me for doing that, it's going to be Johnny Bananas. It's going to be CT, in terms of, I want to say, athleticism, Landon made a really good play. Ooh. And then you got to throw Durrell in there as well. So those four in terms of what they've done physically as well as memorable. I mean, Johnny did it, you know, seven times. That guy's the GOAT in this world. CT has been such a, you know, CT's kind of a late bloomer, right? I mean, everyone loved CT in the beginning because he was just such a polarizing personality. But he's in his later years has really been putting up some physical and social stats amongst these shows. So God bless him for doing that as well. He's having a really good late run at it. So those four, I think, are good names to include. You want to look at the girls. I would throw, like, just from like a physical standpoint, like a Laurel, a Laurel and Coral. That should be a TV show. And then you got like an Ashley Mitchell who was wanting to bring home the $1 million. You can't escape the fact that she pulled that off. So there's a lot of great faces you can include, guys and girls. So it's just, I'm hoping we create more of those as the years go by, because like I was telling you guys earlier, they're kind of pulling out a lot of these OGs from the regular show, giving these youngsters a new chance to win, and no one's done it yet. So hopefully, you know, Challenge 37 will get a new winner that no one's seen yet, but you never know.
No, we hope not. We want the OGs to keep winning. We want them to keep going back and smacking them down. Because I want Fessy to get in CT's face and says, "You're a has-been. You're a has-been, boy. This is a new class. You don't belong here." And CT went old CT and ripped off the wig and said, "Let's go." Because CT, that's the crazy thing about CT. He used to break people's faces. I mean, I don't know if Adam is still alive. I don't know what Adam is doing. But that poor dude took a punch from CT, and I can't believe his face didn't just collapse. But CT did that. He went through a whole transformation in life, and now he's like a nice guy. here, let me mentor you, Big T. Let me show you how it's done. And I'll still whoop your ass, Fessy.
Wasn't that a great moment when he stepped up to him and he took the wig off? And of course, Fessy didn't once put down that inflatable beatbox he was holding because he didn't want any of it. He stepped down really quick. So again, that's the difference between the OG cast and the youngsters, right? OG, CT was absolutely dead serious. Seth Fessy was probably serious, but kind of joking in a way. But it all got real serious, and Fessy sobered up real quick when CT called him out, which I love.
So the Challenge All-Stars, how many – I'm a week behind. So how many more weeks do we get of this?
So they just – last week they aired episode 5. We air episode 6, 7, 8, 9 coming up, and then we do an hour reunion.
Nice.
So you got some good – we got some good content. They just released a mid-season trailer, which is badass. It looks great. It shows you a lot of things that you can expect. But, I mean, you know, like any challenge, as we get closer to the money, you know, the niceness goes out the window and strategy and alliances start showing their heads and it becomes fun. But I think, you know, what the caller – what was his name, the caller? Blake?
Brady.
So what Brady pointed out was – you know, you're seeing a lot more of not just the challenge. You're seeing a lot more of that social interaction.
The parties are great. The music is fantastic.
Yeah, the parties are great. We have an epic pajama party coming up where you see, you know, there's a little shot of Anissa laying in the old bed with Letarian. That's a nice little moment.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, I say this. You know, we're older, so the physical capabilities might be minimized a little bit, but the personalities have grown tenfold. And you got to remember, we all back in the day were cast for our personalities, not just our physical attributes. So that's why the OGs are always great characters because they're just as fun, whether they're competing or sitting on the couch, you know, dogging each other out in a fun way. So I love the fact that we're back. And I hope I've said this before, it's the right recipe. I hope it goes many, many, many seasons because I know the OG fans are ready for it. And I know the OG cast members that have now seen this version are all chiming at the bit to come on.
Love it. Mark, I appreciate you coming back on. I will have you on anytime you want so I can geek out, ask you a million questions. I mean, fantastic. You are always brilliant. You always bring the fire and the fury, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Hot and ferocious, baby.
Hot and ferocious. That's it.
Mark. So when and if, hopefully we get an announcement for another season, you'll be my call and we'll announce it here on the show.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, season 2. Keep your fingers crossed, baby. How can it not happen? Come on.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
Hey, let's go. Mark Long, thank you so much, dude.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, have a great day, dude. Take it easy.
See you, buddy. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you.
Dude, he is incredible. Like, he is incredible. Like, that is so freaking cool. Wow. Dang, that was good. Scuba, was that good or was that good?
That was really cool. And then to the very end when he's like, hey, we're going to do the special announcement on your show.
Like, is he serious, though?
I think he's pretty serious. I think you're as much a fan of him as he is a fan of you being a fan of him.
God, if they're really going to announce it on our podcast, I mean, that is phenomenal.
That's pretty big. That's Big Show type stuff right there.
Like, is he serious, though?
Ask Brady. What do you think? Brady, don't call me Tom.
Brady, do you think he's serious about if there's a season 2, he's going to announce it on the pod?
He brought it up on his own. You didn't get it out of him. He offered it up. I think he's serious about it.
Oh, my gosh, guys. This is incredible. I mean, this is like what dreams are made of. I am freaking out right now. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
I heard him say that, and I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
That's legit.
Hey, I need to save that clip. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know where the video is, but we need to clip that and put it. Oh, my gosh.
And I have his email and number, so I'll follow up for sure. So if you get any kind of inkling of when the season comes to an end and some sort of whatever that I may do a season 2, let me know. We'll follow up.
All right. Brady, appreciate it. Great questions. Have a good day. Listen for yourself on the pod. I don't know when we're putting this up, but, boy, that was fun.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, Coach. You have a good one.
All right, later. Scuba, I'm freaking out still.
I know.
Like, that's huge.
That was pretty cool. Like, I'm a fan of The Real World, which I want to ask him if they have plans of bringing that back, because I know they canceled it a couple years ago.
Yeah, they were supposed to bring it back. And then and then my question is, how pissed are Eddie and Ray going to be that I set up the interview and didn't even tell them?
Yeah, well, I'm sure to be pretty pissed because they wanted to talk to him this time around and ask him some non-fan questions.
I know, but here's the thing. I went home after being sad about not letting them ask questions, and I'm like, I'm such a super fan that I love fan questions, and I feel like some people love fan questions. And so I just was like, all right. And then we lined them up again. And then I didn't tell Eddie and Ray, because I was like, I was debating internally. Do I tell them? Do I not tell them? Do I tell them? Do I not tell them? And I didn't tell them. And maybe that makes me a jerk. Maybe that makes me an ass. I don't know. But damn, I love that. That was so freaking fun. Oh, all right. I think we can cut it now. Woo! You guys heard it. We're getting the announcement right here on the pod. Sore Losers Nation. Let's go.